We talked about our mission statements already. The first one being radical faith, relevant approach, relational connections. Hello? Hello? I gotta start again. Number one, radical faith. Number two, relevant approach. Number three, relational connections. Number four, reshaping foundation. So we're going to talk a little bit, or rather, we're going to talk more next week, okay? Today I just want to, you know, continue to enter into worship. I feel that's necessary right now. But I want to use a parable as a stepping stone for us to think through certain things so that we can think and develop what it means for us as a church to reshape foundations. Now, foundations has a lot to do with our background, our mindset, and how we do things, how we approach things, how we think of things, right? And those are foundations that have been laid in our life. Scripture itself is a foundation. Well, there are many times in Scripture, I just want to start off by turning to a scripture in Matthew chapter 15, you know, where there's these Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and they were having this discussion about what is clean and what is unclean, right? And Jesus comes in and he tells a parable, and then he tries to explain, you know, in God's eyes, what is clean, what is unclean. I just want to highlight one verse before we go to the parable. I'm not going to talk about this parable here. Okay? But verse 15, Peter asks, explain the parable to us. And then verse 16, Jesus turns to them, he looks at his disciples and he says this, are you still so dull? Okay? He looks at them and says, why are you so dull? Why you still so dull? Okay, still so dull. In our today's term, we say, why you still so duh? Can't you get it? Now, why am I bringing out this scripture? Because one of the things that Jesus wanted to do when he came and ministered was to change mindsets. Understanding of scripture and how we need to live that out. I want to share with us very quickly one parable. Now, Jesus told many, many parables, about 30, 40 parables, I think. But I want to pick on one, which I think is the easiest to understand. Alright? And that is found in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Mark 4, verse 2. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, verse 3, and here he begins the parable by saying, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came, ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then the disciples go and had a chat with him. Let's go down to verse 13. Okay, very quickly. Why do I say this is the easiest parable to understand? Because Jesus himself explains it. Okay, don't have to try to figure it out already. Alright? Verse 13, he explains what it actually means. Alright? Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Pause for a moment. Okay? It's almost like Jesus saying, "Day, why are you so dull?" Again, no. It's almost like him saying to his disciples, "Can't you get it?" And then he goes on to explain the parable, verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Alright, the seed is the word. The farmer sows the word. And some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes, takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and even 100 times what was sown. Four situations here. Now, firstly, Jesus explains the parable and says this thing. He says, number one, the seed is... Okay, the seed is the word. All right? And then, people are like... soil. Okay? People are... well, he doesn't say people is equals to soil. He says seed equals to word. All right? But he does say this. All right? People have different responses to what happens when the word comes. Okay? So there are four different situations, four different categories of people. Number one, firstly, there are those whom are likened unto seed that falls unto the path. People are like seed that falls onto the path. What happens is the birds come and take it away. This parable is mentioned in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. Luke chapter 8 gives us another picture. Luke chapter 8, turn to that very quickly. Keep your finger at Mark, right? Luke chapter 8, verse 5. It says, as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. The first situation is that the seed never takes root. The word of God never takes root in the life of this person. Okay? Seed falls on the path. It's like people trample on it. They're trampled on. Now remember, the seed is the word. Okay? Trample on and the birds take it away. Jesus explains the parable later that the devil comes and snatches the word away. Okay? Doesn't take root at all. Now, we're talking about reshaping foundations. The foundations that we have must be based on the word of God. What we do in life must be based on the word of God. If the word doesn't sink in, we cannot reshape any foundation. Now, before we can go out and reshape foundations, we need to reshape foundations in our life. And therefore, the word of God must sink in. When I first read this parable many, many, many moons ago, when I was a new Christian, I asked this question, who am I? Okay, am I the path, the rocks, or rather, am I the soil? The path, the soil among rocky soil, thorny soil, or good soil? Okay? What kind of person am I? And then, the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm definitely not the path, because I have the word, right? Right? And many times, it's almost like, path means, all this, you know, people out there in the streets, non-Christians, they are the ones, the path on. Nothing happens to them. You preach to them, you tell them, you give them the word, nothing sinks in. Okay? It was years later that I realized that, you know, we can be in any one of these four situations at any point of our life. You know, sometimes the word of God comes to us and nothing happens to us. You go to church, come in, listen, like what people say, in here, out there, zoom right through, you know. Nothing happens. What was the message about today? We have to stop and think, you know. Because forgot already, right? And then when we go back, we don't take it back. It's as if it is snatched away. And sometimes we can, if we are not careful, become like people who are, you know, that seed fall on the pathway. Zoom, gone. Doesn't take root at all. And that is a warning, a challenge first of all, to ask ourselves, hey, dig deep. You know, what happens to us when the word of God, when you read, it doesn't even have to be come to church. Sometimes we read. How many of you have experienced that you read the word of God, you do your devotion in the morning, right? You know, you follow some system or whatever guide. Then after that, you pray. You pray the prayer that's written there even. Then you close the book. Close the Bible. Then you go to your school or work or whatever. And then forget already. Then you come back the next day, you open up the Bible, right? And you're like, oh, yesterday I read this, huh? Cannot even remember. What happened is that the word never sank in at all. Path. A lot of times you think, well, at least at one point of my life, thought that this one doesn't apply to me. It's only for non-Christians, you know. Word never sinks into them. And then I realized that, you know, a lot of times the Lord speaks to me and never sinks in also. Seed fall along path. Second, they are the ones that fall among rocky ground. Now, the thing about the rocky ground is this. It says that in, go back to Mark, right? It says that these people, they receive the word, they hear the word, verse 16, and at once receive it with joy. How many of you have, at one point or another, or know of people, you know, they get so excited, you know, when they hear the word of God. Boom, they want to conquer the world, you know, they hear the word of God, and then after that they go out and say, you know what, you know, this is what we must do. Deep conviction in their heart. Energized, they're filled with joy, they're empowered, you know. And then it tells us that it is very short-lived. It only lasts for a short time. Why? Because it doesn't take root. But since it has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble, persecution comes, note this, trouble or persecution comes because of the word. They quickly fall away. You want to do something big for God? You better be ready for the tough times. Persecution. Trouble. These are the guys that get up and they're all excited. But no root, no. And then when persecution comes, because of the word, I know this, because they're excited, because, you know, they're all ready and they fall off and they die. You know, it's as if the sun comes and because it doesn't take root, they wither. Nothing happens. And here again, another warning for us. If we want to reshape foundations, we got to look at our foundation and see how strong it is. How deep does it go? The thing about foundation is this. And I've said this before, you know, you've experienced this before. You pass by, you drive maybe to work or to school or whatever every day, and you know that, there's some construction going on here. And then at one point, you say this, you know, hey, how come this building done already? Suddenly it comes up. for a long time you saw a metal fence, right? Then after, you know, sometime that fence is taken down, and then you realize, hey, this building is up already. Now what happened is, that long time that you felt where you just saw a metal fence and nothing came up, it's because they were doing foundation. And when you build deep foundation, suddenly, poof, the building comes up. Now, we can get excited about what God is doing. But if we are rocky ground, it's not going to last. It's going to come up for a bit. And then after that, when we are excited, persecution comes, we're going to fade away. And that itself is another warning that this parable gives us. Number three, very quickly. Number three. Thorns. Still verse 18. Others like seeds sown among thorns hear the word. Verse 19, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, desires of other things come in, choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you look at Luke chapter 8, okay, Luke chapter 8, it says that, verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So, here, Mark tells us that it's unfruitful. Okay? Luke tells us it's immature. Right? Now listen, these are the ones among thorns. The one in the pathway never takes root, right? Never comes up. The one among the rocks, it comes up for a little while, then it dies. So you don't see anything. I think the third one is the most dangerous one. Among thorns. Because what happens is it comes up, the thorns choke it, and then it doesn't die, no. It says it is unfruitful. It doesn't tell us that the plant dies. It tells us that the plant is unfruitful. Or, in the account of Luke says, it does not mature. So it is stunted. Right? Warning. Sometimes we come to church, hear the word, we grow. But then there are thorns. Now, this is different from the persecution mentioned earlier, you know. That one is outward, you know. This one is from inside, you know. What are these thorns? They are selfish desires, worldly pleasures, worries, cares of this world. We worry about this, worry about that, worry about everything under the sun until we cannot grow. Check. Do we think about more things about this world so much so that our spiritual life is stunted? We can still see the plant, no, growing, but it's stunted and it's unfruitful. No fruit. Maybe you have experienced many years in your Christian walk. Come to church, go to church, read the Bible, learn a little bit. But then, we are worried about many, many things. We chase after many other things, you know, the cares of this world, the pleasures, things, right? So much so that we don't grow. We just go through a motion. The thing about thorns is, if there are thorns all around you, right? I ask this question, does the plant realize there are thorns around them? A lot of times other people can say, hey, you're too worried. And then we look at ourselves and say, that's part and parcel of life, it's okay. We just brush it aside and say, use it as an excuse. What God wants us to do is to grow, to multiply. The fourth is obviously, the good soil. The thing about the good soil is this, all right? They hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times that which was sown. You know, God wants us to always be involved in a multiplication process. All right? It goes beyond who we are. You see, the plant, the seed, takes root, germinates, becomes a plant, and its produce goes beyond itself. The other plants, the first two never survive. The third one doesn't produce anything. It's concerned about itself. The cares of this world, the worries, it's concerned about itself. But the fourth, the one that falls, the seed that falls among good soil, goes beyond itself. It produces 30, 60, 100 fold. Right? Now, why am I using this parable as a stepping stone to what we're going to talk about in reshaping foundations? Before we can even think about reshaping foundations in community, we need to first of all think about reshaping our foundation. And we need to ask ourselves, what does the Word of God do when it hits our life? What does the Word of God do? Are we concerned about ourselves? Are we concerned about multiplication? Are we allowing the Word of God to grow in us, taking root? Or are things choking us? Or are there too many rocks around us? So much so that we cannot last, cannot stand the tough times that are ahead. You actually, when you read this parable, it is one that is filled with, it's supposed to give us encouragement. It's supposed to say, hey, this is what we should be when the Word of God hits us. We should be multiplying. We should be growing and thinking beyond. Ephesians tells us, beyond what we can even think or imagine. You can't even imagine what God is going to do. Every time I think of this, I give the illustration I have given here before. Let me give it to you again. If I take an apple, durian, Malaysia must talk about durians, right? If you take a durian, and I ask you this question, what is the potential of this durian? Okay? There are many things you can do with it. But if you think about the potential of the durian, it's limitless, If I bring the best durian in the whole world right now, you can say that, that's great. Let's go have a feast and enjoy ourselves. That may last you, half an hour for some less. Okay, 10 minutes, finish, wallop the whole durian already. Okay, in and out. Some can be a little bit more innovative and say, we can make durian cake, durian ice cream, durian whatever. We can go further and say, let's plant a durian tree. But can you go more than that? How about let's have an orchard of the best durian in the world? Multiplication process. Right? But actually, if you think of that, what's the potential of that one durian? How about, let's fill the whole Penang Island with the best durian in the world. Possible or not? possible, right? Out of one durian. May take some time, but possible? Yeah? How about the whole Malaysia? You see, if you think about the potential, that word, after a while, your mind, jam, you know. You know why? Because God comes and He says this also. He wants to do things that even your mind cannot comprehend. You cannot even imagine. That's the potential of the seed that He puts in us. But it has to begin in us. If we want to begin to reshape certain things, lifestyles, if we want to begin to reshape communities, it has to begin with us saying, good soil, I want to set apart my life so that it is in condition, it is conditioned to multiply. I want us to continue to worship the Lord, but I want to end with this, okay? I want to end with this. To ask ourselves, just stay where you are first. That's alright. To ask ourselves this question. Okay? Right now, what kind of soil are we? Right now. You know, sometimes we can switch between path and rocky and, you know, thorny all in one day, you know. But the danger is this. I'm very particular about the thorny one. Okay. Because that's very dangerous. You see it grow. Or it seems to grow. But it is stunted. What do you do with a stunted tree? What do you do with a durian tree that doesn't bear durian? Easy to say, chop it off. But most of us won't chop it off. Just leave it there. Hopefully it will grow. Hopefully something will turn out of it. Alright? Now let's turn around and say, what do you want God to do with us? If you say easy, chop it off. What do you want God to do with us if we are stunted? Chop it off. Now you're not so quick to say, right? Chop it off. We really need to search our hearts and say, God, I want to be multiplying. How? Lord, help me search my heart. Are there thorns in my life that is preventing me from maturing and bearing fruit? I may seem like I'm growing, but I'm not bearing fruit. And sometimes we say, give it time lah. You know, some trees take 3 years to bear fruit. Give it time. And we deceive ourselves. We say, not yet lah. You know, should I serve now? Not yet lah. Wait. After a while lah. After a while. But what are the fruits that God wants us to bear? On the flip side of the coin, we can be like the rocky ground. You know, we get so excited. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do, because you know, you receive the word with joy. Can't wait to get out and get involved. And we talk about gifts, right? God has given me gifts, come on, let's go conquer the world, you know. And stuff like that. And then we're not ready to get deep. And what happens is, after a while, you wither and die. Not going to last. And the thing about the second, the third, and even the first situation, most of the time, if God doesn't reveal to us, we refuse to admit that we are like that one. We refuse to admit that there are thorns. We refuse to admit that there are rocks. And we refuse to admit that sometimes the word of God comes on the path. It's like zoom in and zoom out. We don't care. You know. And we never grow. My challenge for us today as we continue to worship the Lord, you know, every time we worship the Lord, we encounter God, something must happen in our life. Something must happen. And I pray that right now, I'd like us to search deep in our hearts. Lord, and pray this prayer. Lord, are there rocks in my life? I'm excited about certain things, but other people not excited. What happened? It's great to be excited about the Word of God. It's great. But ask the Lord, Lord, am I really rooted? When the Word of God comes and I'm excited about it, am I really, really, really rooted? Because you don't want to 2, 3 months, 6 months down the road, 1 year down the road, hey, what happened to this fella? He was so excited, you know, so on fire for God and no more already. Now in ministry, we've met a lot of people like that. You get all excited, they want to conquer the world. You know. But then after a while, what happened? No more. Rocks. Sometimes the cares of this world, the thorns distract us, grip us. Don't bear fruit. Still in church. Still reading. Still listening. Something is wrong. Every time listen, understand, but then almost immediately get worried about, hey, what about this thing and that thing and all these other worldly things. I want to lead you in worship. I just sense the Lord just wanting me to do that together with Chris. My prayer today, right now, in the time that we have, this is high praise. Besides just praising the Lord, I'd like us to search deep and say, hey God, if there's this pathway that needs to be broken, help me break it. If there are rocks that needs to be removed, help me remove it. So that your word can take root, really take root. If there are thorns, the cares of this world that are distracting, help me get that right. Because the first foundation that needs to be reshaped is the foundation in my life. It is only then that as a church, we can move on. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, minister to us as we seek to glorify you, as we worship you. Come. Speak to us, Lord.